If you Google Renaissance Man, a picture of today's guest comes up. A television personality, sports commentator, and former NFL QB, Jesse Palmer. Welcome, Jesse.
Ben, what's up, dude? Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thanks for being here. I need to start with a tough question. More pressure. You got D lineman on a blitz coming at you full speed or handing out a rose. Like, what do we think?
You got to scramble no matter what. And in both situations, got to be quick on your feet. You can throw it away. Punt's always okay. You don't want to mess up any names, which I did on national TV. But then getting a 330-pound person slamming you into the turf, also not great. You just got to you just got to know where your check down is at all times.
There you go. I mean, for like moments like that and to prepare yourself for whether it's being on TV or, you know, playing quarterback or even being on TV, or sports and broadcasting, like, is there something you tell yourself or something way you kind of prepare yourself mentally to get in the zone?
You know, I think for me, I'm always just trying to be as prepared as possible for whatever the situation is. Like, you know, like a lot of people, I believe that, you know, success is when opportunity meets preparation. And so whether it was playing the position or whether it's broadcasting on ESPN, going into a studio show or calling a live game or even on The Bachelor or Good Morning America or any of these other shows I've been lucky enough to be a part of, I like to get myself in the right headspace, kind of do my homework so that I'm feeling confident when I go, when a lot of the stuff we do is live. And so, you know, it's just about being in the moment. But I think for me, always, maybe that's the quarterback mentality, right? Just always feeling prepared. You want to have the answers to the test before you go in, making yourself feel, you know, up to the moment and ready to go whenever the cameras turn on.
Yeah, it's such a true, like the quarterback to what you do, you know, on TV just translates so well. Like, I mean, I think for like the work is in the week, right, leading up to it. And obviously it shows for you. But I like to do all you do. You obviously like need to eat a lot. Like, you're a big eater. I just got to start off, like, I love to eat like Jesse. So tell us like where that kind of started on Instagram. And it's obviously become pretty popular.
Yeah. So I've been a pretty big foodie. I think when I got drafted to New York, it sort of opened up my, you know, the spectrum in terms of eating all these great foods. And I've always been a big traveler and I've gone around the world. And I just think food is one of the greatest things in the world that I don't want to miss out on. I had so many teammates over the years that were dieting so strictly. I remember we had a teammate, Jonathan Carter. He was this wide receiver from Auburn. He was with us at the Giants, and he was like 5% body fat or something ridiculous. I remember one day I walked in the locker room and he said, man, if I have to eat one more tub of ice cream, I think I'm going to puke. I have to eat fat so that I'm not getting hurt. Yeah. In practice. And I was like, dude, if I ever hear you complain about having to eat another tub of ice cream again.
Yeah.
And so like, I just traveled around the world, you know, just in researching, you know, I've worked for Food Network. So, you know, I got this opportunity to eat at a lot of great places. And I just started taking pictures of the stuff I was eating. And I mean, it's a heart attack waiting to happen. I know. And like, my doctors are having a fit about it. My LDL is not great, but it's just, you know, I just feel like life is short and I just love delicious food. And so that's kind of how that whole thing got started.
I love it. I love it. So let's go back to the beginning. You grew up in Ottawa, Canada, right? Isn't that where all great quarterbacks come from up there? Yeah. And so
it's a hotbed. Yes.
Hotbed for quarterbacks in the NFL. But like, how do you not end up with a hockey stick in your hands?
Great question, man. So my dad played in the CFL and he was a linebacker in the CFL in the 70s. He's Canadian too, but you know, I really grew up idolizing my dad and kind of my dad's bedroom and closet. My parents is where he had all of his football photos. So I used to go in there as a kid all the time and kind of look at those on the wall. And I just kind of grew up wanting to be like him. And he was my coach from when I was, 9 years old, all the way until I got to the University of Florida. And he used to take me to Ottawa Rough Rider football games back when J.C. Watts was the quarterback. I mean, this is like mid-80s. And that's the team I kind of grew up supporting. I was a CFL fan before I was a college football and NFL fan. But I just fell in love with the game that way. All my friends were playing hockey. Every kid in Canada is in like a power skating class when they're like 3 years old. It's like they know how to skate before they can walk. Yeah. And I just was drawn towards football. And, you know, telling teachers and your friends that in school growing up, you know, hey, what do you want to be when you grow up? I want to play football in the NFL. They were kind of like, that's nice. Give you a pat on the head.
Yeah.
It was like an impossibility, but that's just really what I wanted to do.
That's awesome. Well, and your mom's pretty impressive as well. Tell us about her.
Yeah. So mom was a model. She owned a modeling agency in Ottawa when I was growing up too. So I sort of had this great example, and I was very, very lucky, obviously, to have, you know, loving parents that really supported me, but they were also great examples of hard work and dedication and just kind of what it took to be successful. And so I saw that on a day-to-day basis, which I think has really helped me to this day as well. So, you know, dad helping me out on the coaching side, but, you know, mom's kind of the one that you have a lot of heart to hearts about when it comes down to, you know, choosing which school to go to when you're lucky enough to get scholarship offers and, you know, how you have to kind of plan out the week and school and study and working out and all that kind of stuff too. She was just really good at sort of helping me with the schedule all the way through. So both of them, I think, equally really sort of helped me along.
I mean, talking about schools, you ended up down in Florida at the University of Florida. Like, how did that come to be? And all the way from Ottawa, that's definitely a big change.
Yeah, this is back in the day before like Huddle. So like you had to actually like, you know, film right. Your games on a VHS.
And send them and tapes.
Stick it in the mail. And it cost a lot of money. I mean, up in Canada, there were no U.S. coaches that were going to come up and watch me play in Ottawa. So we really had to be proactive. I remember in the off season going to Jim Kelly's football camp at upstate New York at St. Bonaventure University, going to Penn State's football camp, going to Michigan's football camp and trying to get our name out there. We started getting some traction, and my dad one day said, okay, look, you know, we need to pick schools to send our films to, but we have to set a ceiling. We don't have enough money to send tapes to all these schools around the country. So we picked like the top five passing schools in the 1995 season. And the Florida Gators were, and Steve Spurrier and Danny Werfel were one of those teams. And we got a call like almost right away after sending our tape out. From Coach Spurrier, and that's kind of how the recruiting process started. Long story short, took a visit, committed, and then I remember getting down to Gainesville, Florida, being a total culture shock. I got there in spring. I was the only guy in my class to enroll early. They had just won a national championship in 96. Werfel just won the Heisman. And all of a sudden, I'm there, and on one side, I was like, wait, this doesn't look like what I thought it was going to be. In a Canadian kid's mind, I thought Gainesville was like Miami.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But there were like palm trees and like South Beach and convertible cars everywhere. Gainesville, Florida looks a lot like South Alabama or South Georgia.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of the vibe. So it was awesome because football was like a religion. And so for this kid from Ottawa, all I wanted to ever do in my life was play football. And I always kind of felt out of place in Ottawa from that standpoint. I think finally getting to Gainesville, really, I felt like I was home and had just the best 4 years of my life there.
That's awesome. And I know you were a pretty cool award your senior year, the Gators Fergie Ferguson Award, recognizes senior football player, displays outstanding leadership and character and courage. That had been pretty cool to get. And I mean, I think like as even a parent now, right, but like when it comes to like anytime it's about character and leadership and, you know, the sports side's great, but that has to be pretty cool to win something like that.
It was cool. Yeah. I mean, you know, it just comes down to being a good teammate, I think, at the end of the day. Right. Yeah. And just trying to do right by your teammates. And like you said, being a leader, you know, we won the SEC championship my senior year. We had a really good team with a lot of great players, but we had an awesome locker room and we had a lot of guys that really were on the same page in terms of what our goals were. And everybody worked really, really hard. And so to be a captain on that team and to be a big part of that season and, you know, on the field and off the field as well, it definitely meant a lot.
That's cool. And take me to 2001 draft night, getting drafted by the Giants. You're obviously like, you know, your parents obviously mean a lot to you and all that. Were you with them?
Yeah, it was a dream come true, obviously. My parents were living in Orlando at the time. So I was in Orlando. Mom and dad made the day really special. You know, they kind of decked out the room and they had jerseys and it was really intimate. It was just kind of direct, like immediate family. And you know, it had been a long process from our bowl game in the Sugar Bowl through the Senior Bowl, through the combine, through all the different things and pro day leading up to the draft. And we kind of, you know, if I had gotten a phone call, I would have just been absolutely thrilled. And I didn't really care where I went. I was just going to, you know, be this Canadian kid that was going to, you know, get a chance to live out his dream. And I was on the phone twice with the Kansas City Chiefs early in the process. And, you know, it's always funny. You play the woulda, shoulda, coulda game. And like, yeah, you always wonder what would have happened to your life had you been drafted by a different team. All of a sudden you moved to Kansas City. You know, where are we now? I've got 12 kids and I'm living in Missouri somewhere. And it's like, everything's completely different. But I think one of the greatest, best things that ever happened in my life that was completely out of my control was getting drafted by the New York Giants. Going to that city, it just opened up so many doors and so many of my own passions and things that I was excited about and interested in. Being obviously a media market capital, which obviously helped me later on in my life transitioning into the TV industry, and just playing for an incredible organization, making so many friends, many of whom are still my best friends today. It was just literally a dream come true. It was incredible.
That's awesome. Well, let's talk post career. Like, where did the first idea to be on TV, where did that idea come to you?
Well, it never really came. I mean, I was The Bachelor in 2004 while still playing on the Giants, but I literally was just doing that as like this fun experiment in the off season that was going to fit right before we had to report back to training camp or to mini camp. So
did you know you were going to get some shit when you got back to training camp?
Oh yeah. It was all good. I mean, look, we went in, I remember being with, I remember like having to explain to everybody what reality TV even was.
Back then, right.
It was kind of a new thing. So it wasn't just like, it was A, what is reality TV? And then B, what is this show called The Bachelor? Like, what are you doing? Yeah. You're going there, you're trying to get married, you know, no one could figure it out. And so, you know, we filmed it. I went back and I just had so much fun with the guys. We were having watch parties. Amani Toomer and Tiki Barber, and these guys were part of the show. You know, I got to incorporate everybody, and it was just the funnest off season of all time. But I had no idea that it was going to parlay into a TV career later. Like, I can't sit here and be like, well, I knew what I was doing. I was setting myself up. I literally was just going to go do this for a couple months and go back and play football. And then one thing led to another, but that was kind of how it really got started.
That's pretty cool. I mean, I'm sure you didn't realize even how big it was going to be. It turned into like the biggest thing ever. And then, you know, later on after football, you joined ESPN. You were in the studio Thursday night college football, led to the SEC network, on and on, like big broadcasting background. What advice would you give to somebody, let's say Tom, getting into broadcasting?
So my biggest thing was just don't say no a lot, say yes, put your hand up and try a lot of different things. I would say throughout my TV career and broadcasting career in football as well, you know, you don't always think it's something's going to be a good fit. People say, hey, would you consider doing this? And you're like, yeah, you know, I really don't know if that's for me. But until you actually try things, sometimes you realize, you know what, I really actually enjoyed that. My first football stuff, I remember like Jason Garrett back on the New York Giants was doing radio broadcasts for the local arena football team. And one weekend he couldn't do it. And he just said, hey man, like, you know, do you want to go in and give this a try? And I'm like, bro, I'm like 24 years old and living in New York City.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to burn a Saturday, you know, like
prepping for the
New York Dragons or the New Jersey Gladiators. Like I'd like to, you know, and I ended up doing it, just being like, we'll see. And you know what? And you go to Nassau Arena and there's like 300 people in the game, but we're calling this thing. And I ended up absolutely loving it. Mm. And it was kind of this aha moment that went off in my head where, you know, I could totally see myself maybe trying something like this when football's over. And that's happened to me with food and Food Network. That's happened with stuff like Good Morning America, obviously, you know, now hosting The Bachelor. You know, for Tom, he's going to prepare. And he's like, when he shows up on game day at Fox, he's going to be so dialed in. And we're all going to be tuning in just to listen to the, you know, the greatest of all time, just talk about how he's processing the game. And it's just going to be, we're going to be getting the information through the screen through osmosis. That's going to be incredible. But he's going to get nervous and he's going to treat it like it is, you know, a game. And that's why he's going to be really, really good at it. You just prep for it like you do anything else, but just say yes to things because you'll be surprised. Like football might not be the last thing he does on TV. He might realize that there's other things and other avenues and other genres of television that he might really gravitate to as well.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I also find it interesting how you make that switch from hosting shows on ABC to, you know, like just all the other like ESPN and just juggling a lot of stuff in your life and all you have going on. How do you kind of stay centered and on top of it all?
It's sort of, again, a terrible quarterback analogy, but it's like play the next play. And if you look at the schedule at the start of the year and you go, okay, I'm going to be in LA filming food here for these 2 weeks. And then I'm going to Bachelor and we're going to be traveling to Fiji. And then I'm coming back and we got spring games for ESPN. And then I got this, you know, you'll be overwhelmed. You just sort of got to stay like focused and centered in on the moment and whatever you're doing. I also believe in kind of preparing throughout the year, and you're sort of following college football no matter what throughout the year for me personally, right? There's just too many teams. There's a transfer portal. Things are changing. There's realignment. All this stuff is happening all the time. It, you know, you have to just kind of stay on it throughout the year. And if you're passionate about something, I think it helps make it a little bit easier to do that as well. But honestly, with the different shows, for me, it's just about being present, focusing on that particular show that day and doing everything you need to do to prepare to be ready that day. And then just play the next play. If it's a good show, it's a bad show. You throw a pick, you throw a touchdown, you play the next play and you move on.
Yeah, for sure. The with our community here at Playing Field and the uniqueness of the community and all you have going on, how can we support you? And I know you've done some work with the Good Sports Inc. And just let us know how we can support what you have going on.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. Good Sports is an incredible organization that I'm working with, and they help kids who get equipment. They help organizations around the country and kids that don't have an opportunity to get on the field, get back in the game. People can visit goodsports.org to learn how to find out more. It's incredible. I think back to sports growing up for me and just how important that was in my upbringing and my development, not from a standpoint of getting a chance to play professional football, but just socializing with other kids and just learning life skills and important life lessons that sports teach us. Fewer and fewer kids, unfortunately, in the United States are getting an opportunity to play sports for a variety of economic and different reasons. But Good Sports is sort of fighting the good fight in terms of finding these kids that need these opportunities and getting them equipment, getting them opportunities to get back in the game, whether it's at school, whether it's outside of school, to learn all the really valuable lessons that sports teaches us.
That's awesome. We'll make sure to link to it so people can check it out. So last question, but, you know, with all you have going on and, you know, you're in the public eye, like, have you thought about post-career and like how you kind of want to be remembered or what you want to be remembered for?
You know, people ask me that sometimes, like, what's your legacy? And, you know, I don't know if this is good or bad. I don't really know, like, at this point, what my legacy is. You know, I want to impact and change and help change for the better. Whatever that is, just being a good person. I want to be down the road, a great father. I want to be a great husband. I work hard at my job. I care about it. I hope people watching the different shows that I'm on get pleasure in that. And, you know, I just help improve their, you know, their day or whatever in some way, shape, or form, in some capacity. I just think being, you know, you hear being an agent for change and positivity, but that's really just what I want. You know, at the end of the day, I don't know. I don't spend too much time thinking way too far down the road. Yeah. I'm a pretty present guy and just kind of focusing on what's happening right now and just trying to be the best I can be at it. And hopefully that's in some minute way, in a fraction of a way, helping make the world better. I don't know.
It's awesome, man. We'll be tuning into TV to see your face, you know, this fall on the sports broadcasts and the Bachelor as well. And so, Jesse, I really appreciate the time today and looking forward to following along.
You got it, brother. Thanks so much for having me on again, man. We'll be right back.